Wise guys, these guys know sports on this Wednesday, August the 5th. Another day on the Wise Guys show on the Worldwide Sports Network with my co-host, Mr. Clarence Nixon. What's up, Clarence?
What's up, Trey, man? How you doing today?
Doing pretty well, man. How you doing today on this Wednesday night?
Man, just trying to get it in and ready to talk some sports with my good old best co-host, Mr. You, Trey Larkins.
Yes, sir, man. Everybody remember going follow the Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. We got a special guest coming up on the show today, Gunnar Greenwald out of South Florida. He's going to be attending South Florida and playing football next fall at the University of South Florida. So we're going to have him on the show. So definitely excited about that. But, Clarence, we got a big-time show ahead, a few topics we're going to talk about before we bring on Gunnar. And the first one being is my Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah,
my Portland Trailblazers. As last night, the Portland Trailblazers beat the Houston Rockets 110-102 in the bubble. Melo had 15 points, I think 11 rebounds, had a big-time three late in that ball game. I can't even remember the exact numbers that Dame put up.
Dame had 21 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists.
8 assists. Okay, you got it. Good job on the numbers there. And, you know, Russell Westbrook and James Harden also showed up. They played pretty well as well. It was an entertaining game to watch. But before we start off with our show, the question here is, as we open up everything, are the Portland Trailblazers a legitimate threat to the Lakers if they make the playoffs?
Now, watching the Portland Trailblazers beat the Rockets, a small ball Rockets team, it was very impressive. And Melo, let me introduce his name. Skinny Melo came in
right.
The clutch again. Skinny yeah. Melo came in the clutch at the top of the three, and CJ McCollum did the smartest move in his whole career. You see Melo at the top of the key, you know he was going to knock it down because he's very efficient at the top of the key. Let me tell you something, Trey. I ain't going to lie. Dame, CJ McCollum, Jokic, Nurkic, Melo, they all did a wonderful job, like containing that small ball that James Harden and Russell Westbrook played. They dominated on the floor. I think Jurgis, he ain't missed no free throws in that game yesterday either. So that was a very effective. You can't guard him, you got to foul him, and he was hitting his free throw. For Melo, he had 15 points and 11 rebounds. I take that. Excuse me. I take that any day because that just shows you that Melo is working, his game is getting better, and he came up with a late three. They were just hitting on all cylinders, man. And do I believe they will, like, give the Lakers a challenge? I believe so, because now you got Melo, you get Melo involved. You get Melo involved, and that could be dangerous. But at the same time, like, you got to respect LeBron James' playoff, and he's never lost in the first round in his career. So that's going to be on the line, too. But I definitely see them going, giving the Lakers a big shot at it. I'm being honest.
James Harden had 23 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Russell Westbrook had 15 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Is Portland a legitimate threat to beat the Lakers if they make the playoffs? The answer is yes, and I've been preaching this, Clarence. Be honest, I've been saying this for weeks.
I'm your witness, man. You've been preaching this all day, all for these last months, to be honest.
Yes, I've been saying it. And listen, you said when you were talking on your little soliloquy, you said – that Melo is hitting big shots, and Melo been hitting big shots throughout the course of his career. You're the one that's been disrespectful to my favorite all-time player. I have seen countless moments when Melo has hit game-winning shots. I've seen countless moments where I've seen Melo hit game-time shots. Carmelo Anthony is a bona fide scoring machine. And the same thing Dame Dallas said when he said, hey, we expect Melo to hit those big shots. As a Melo fan, I expect Melo to hit those big shots, Clarence. Carmelo Anthony is one of the all-time great scorers. And when it's time to put the ball in the bucket, Melo is one of the greatest to ever do it. Against, I think it was Friday, they were playing the Memphis Grizzlies and Ja Morant. Gang was going back and forth, nip and tuck. Melo hit two key threes that came down the stretch of that game that got the game to overtime. Melo has made plays throughout the course of his career and always hit key late shots because Melo can get to his spot and he can hit the perimeter shot. And if you stop him from being able to hit the perimeter shot, he can put the ball on the floor, get to the rim, create some contact, and hit his free throw shots late in games. Carmelo Anthony is one of the greatest scorers we have in a generation. And the thing that Dave said in post-game press conference really, really meant a lot to me, and it spoke volumes. He said it's disappointing that it surprises people that Melo hit big shots. Like, what? Why? Why do we everybody have this perception of Melo like Melo is not a big-time clutch player? Why? It makes no sense to me, and it baffles me because we've had so many people in the media, Clarence. So many people in the media disrespected Carmelo Anthony. Do you remember last year when there were people in the media saying Melo is washed up? I think I might have seen you even say it a few times. Melo is washed up. Melo ain't got nothing left in the tank.
I said this. I just said he had to prove himself that he wasn't washed up, and he actually did prove himself. Look, I love Melo just as you though, man. But I cannot forget his flaws in his game that can really be worked on. But you know, he grabbed 11 rebounds yesterday. I was so happy that he was more involved in the game. And believe it or not, Melo hit the last three clutch shots for Portland. And he's bubbled. So he's definitely been coming up. He was known for big shots and stuff. And the thing is, he got a team around him that he can play with and absorb their energy. And he can still play his game. I think Melo did a phenomenal job yesterday. He came in the late again. He struggled in the beginning, but he made back up with that three. Like that's a good made up, man. Hey, Melo's that guy.
I want to say right now on the Wise Guy Sports show on the Worldwide Sports Network, I want to call out a few people. Max Kellerman, the First Take on ESPN, he said Melo was washed. It's a lot of Melo haters out there that have basically been very critical of Melo throughout the course of his career. I want to call out all those haters tonight, Clarence, because there's been a lot of Melo hatred throughout the course of his career, and all Melo has done is revamp his career, and he's revitalized that entire Portland Trail Blazers team. I think the reason why they're in the position that they're in, and one of the reasons why they have a chance of winning that AC is because of Carmelo Anthony. And so many people that's disrespected that first ballot Hall of Famer, and I need to call them out on Wise Guys today. Max Kellerman, one of them, and it's a whole lot of Melo haters out there, and I'm going to put them all in a group. Quit trying to say Melo's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Quit acting like Carmelo Anthony is not a player who can get you a bucket in clutch moments late in basketball games. This is a first ballot Hall of Famer that we're talking about. So let's talk about the Portland Trail Blazers real quick as a team.
Exactly.
Because when I watched the game last night, I watched the Portland Trail Blazers use their size advantage that they had over the Houston Rockets, Clarence, Nurkic, and Collins. They was giving James Harden and Russell Westbrook fits down in that paint. They couldn't guard Nurkic and Collins when they got down the low post, and that was part of the reason why the Portland Trail Blazers won the game. They go big with Nurkic and Collins, and they put Melo at the three, and you got Dame and CJ at the one and two. So I think that's a lineup that Terry Stotts has used that has been very, very – you know, proficient for the Portland Trail Blazers. It's benefited them very well, and I got to give him a lot of credit for putting that lineup together.
Let me ask you this. You see how the Trail Blazers they was efficient enough with their bigs on the court yesterday. I know this is irrelevant though, but you said that the Rockets had a better chance of beating the Lakers. If the Lakers do the same routine with them, It's guaranteed they go win that series. That's all I wanted to say, man.
So let me say something. So, let me counter that argument. The Lakers big man aren't as skilled as the Portland Trail Blazers big man is. AD, with the outside of AD, JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard, they're not as skilled as Collins and Nurkic. They're not. Nurkic and Collins are very skilled.
Definitely effective in the post and low post scoring. He's definitely effective with the low post scoring. He just playing a role for LA, man. You can't count out the big Dwight. And JaVale McGee, he's very slick when he's in the post game. He's very long and athletic, so that could come to play too, man. That's all.
I've never felt like Dwight Howard, even in his prime, was the kind of player that had great low post moves. Dwight Howard has never been the kind of player that can get you a bucket late in basketball games. Like Anthony Davis, like Tim Duncan. That's not Dwight Howard's game.
Are you serious?
So Dwight Howard, if you notice, a lot of his buckets when he was in his prime, it came in transition. He got a lot of alley-oops. Dwight Howard's never been the kind of player that can get you a bucket late in games, and you can say, I need a move. I need a bucket. Get it for me. That's never been Dwight Howard's game.
So that topic will be saved for another day. So let's go to the next question of this topic. If the Portland Trail Blazers make the postseason, what are your personal expectations for Damian, a.k.a. Dame Dollar Lillard?
I expect Damian Lillard to have the Portland Trail Blazers in a position to where they push the Los Angeles Lakers to 7 games in the bubble. I think it's a very, very high possibility that the Portland Trail Blazers and the Lakers are going to go 7 games in the first round of the NBA playoffs. And guess what, Clarence? You never know what can happen from there. I got Portland and Damian Lillard and Carmelo Anthony beating the Lakers at least 3 times in that first round playoff matchup. And we're going to see what happens in game 7. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. Before we bring in my boy Gunner, I'm going to tell you something right now.
My boy, too.
I'm going to tell you something right now. Anthony Davis has moments where he's not very aggressive. We talked about that on last show. I think he heard us because he answered the bell against the Utah Jazz, putting up 42-12. But he's had moments throughout the course of his career, Clarence, where he's been silent. If Anthony Davis is passive against the Portland Trail Blazers, it could get interesting. I don't know why you don't see it and see the writing on the wall. It could get very interesting because you got to depend on LeBron James to carry you home. LeBron is capable of doing it, but he's 35 years of age. And you got to remember, Dame's going to drop 30. CJ going to give you a good 25. Maybe 30. Melo maybe can give you 20 as well. Then you got this kid, Gary Trent. I want to give him some love as
Gary
well.
Gary Hill? Gary Trent.
Yeah, Trent.
Oh, my God.
He's been playing outstanding. He's been playing great basketball. Yes.
He's been saving him. Like, before we bring our guests on, man, look, I just want to say this. Dame.
Clarence.
Hey, I just want to do this, man. Bring on the good guests, man, because you're going to believe, you're going to be surprised who his favorite team is, man. Let me tell you this, man. We got this one kid, man. He's a big Packers fan. He's a big Packers fan like you. He's a big Packers fan, and he's from Satellite Beach, Florida, and he verbally committed to University of South Florida on April 22nd, 2020. He comes from Satellite High School. Everybody, please welcome Mr. Gunner Greenwald.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
Hey, Gunner, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good, man. How is it down there in Satellite, Florida, man? How is it down there? How's it working?
It's Florida, man. We're right on the beach, you know. It's the lifestyle. It's everything you want. We're loving it down here, that's for sure.
No, man. Hey, I would love it, too, if I'm by the beach every day. If I got all these problems, I'm going to the beach, man. Every day.
For sure. That's what's up.
Yeah, but Gunner, man, before on the show, you was telling me, like, you a big Packers fan, man. And, you know, my host Trey, he's a Packers fan, too, man. So
yes, sir.
Before we get into this next topic about the Green Bay, I don't want you to get too much Packer Nation in this topic, all right? All right. Yeah. Let's stay on topic, all right, man? Can we please stay on topic?
Yeah, for sure. I got you.
All right. So, you know, early in the week, Matt LaFleur, he stated that Aaron Rodgers is going to be their quarterback for a great long time. Now, Trey, I want to hear your reaction to it. Do you believe Aaron Rodgers will be in Green Bay for a long time?
Well, I don't like what Matt LaFleur is trying to sell. Because the fact that him and general manager for the Packers, the fact that they picked Jordan Love, and not only did they select Jordan Love, they moved up in the draft to get Jordan Love. General manager Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, they're trying to sell us on this idea that they want Aaron Rodgers around for a really long time. I'm not buying it because you would have never selected Jordan Love with that first pick that you had in the first round. We got to the NFC Championship game last year. We were one game away from the Super Bowl. All you needed to do was try to get Aaron Rodgers some help, get another receiver to go across from Devontae Adams, and I think that would have helped us get back to the Super Bowl. You can't tell me that I'm your guy, but yet you select my replacement. Makes no sense. Gunner, what's your opinion about it?
Yeah, hey, same thing. Watching the draft, seeing that the Packers didn't get any receivers is just stupid, honestly. Seeing that they moved up in the draft just to get Jordan Love, I think that they're looking to replace Rodgers, which I used to love Rodgers. I think he's a great quarterback. He's still a great quarterback, but seeing that he's getting old for sure. I mean, let's just be real. But, I mean, Jordan Love, he's also a great quarterback. And if we slip him in there and maybe get a couple receivers down the line, we'll be good.
Now, real quick, Gunner, before we move on, you said our quarterback, Aaron, is getting a little old. See, when I look around the league and I look at Big Ben in Pittsburgh, I look at Drew Brees in New Orleans, I look at Tom Brady now in Tampa Bay, Phillip Rivers now with the Colts. Out of all the veteran quarterbacks, our quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, I believe he has the most left in the tank. I still think Aaron can play another 6 or 7 years at a high level. What's your thoughts about that when it compares to the rest of the other veteran quarterbacks that we got in the NFL?
You know, I agree with that too. I mean, we'll see how it goes with the Packers. I'm hoping he doesn't get traded anytime soon. I'd say, honestly, I take Drew Brees over Aaron any day. I'm going to be real.
Hey,
Drew Brees is nasty, man. You can't say that. Drew Brees is disgusting. He's a good player, great leader.
Wow.
I mean,
wait a minute, Clint. Hold on, Gunner. I got to challenge you, Gunner. You think Drew Brees, if you're looking at legacy-wise, like legacy and career, you think Drew Brees is better than Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, 100%.
So you think Mr. Same Drew Brees, who doesn't have an NFL MVP on his resume, that you think is better than Aaron Rodgers, who has two?
Still, seeing what Drew Brees has done in his career, it's still, I don't know. I just like Drew Brees better.
Oh, my God. I'm loving the energy, Gunner, but I want to choose Breeze. Breeze, man, he's a helmet. I'm not choosing Breeze. I'm probably AR over Breeze because Breeze, man, he's getting old. He's older than Aaron Rodgers, so I'm definitely choosing Rodgers over him. But I'm going to just say this. I feel like Rodgers – I've been telling Trey this. I feel like Rodgers has a two-year window in Green Bay. You don't draft a quarterback and don't expect him to sit for 5 or 6 years.
I agree with that 100%.
He don't sit for 5 or 6 years. And, like, that's almost his rookie contract right there. I think if Aaron Rodgers don't take them back, probably don't take them to the Super Bowl or at least the NFC Championship, they're going to think about something. They're going to think about some stuff about keeping him or not. Or the main thing is they're going to be more comfortable with Jordan Love as their starting quarterback in the next 2 or 3 years. I don't think that Jordan Love is not going to be the best player for 5 or 6 years. It's ridiculous, man.
Gunner, let me explain something to you, Gunner. I don't know why Clarence brought this up as our first topic with you. Because he knows I get really emotional about Aaron Rodgers in the back. Why did you bring this up? Why? Why did you bring this up?
Because
Clarence?
I want to know how I am, man.
He's a Packers fan too. I get emotional.
Emotional star, huh? Hey. But hey, we gotta be honest, man. Hey, so Gunner, man, what's your expectations for the Green Bay Packers this season?
I'm hoping for a good season, kind of like last year, maybe a little bit better. I mean, going to the playoffs, get a couple of wins, hopefully make it to the Super Bowl. Every year, I'm gonna be honest, every year I go in and I'm worried for the Packers. I mean, me and my dad are the same way. He's from Wisconsin. He grew up Green Bay fan, and man, he doubts them so much, and I just tell him to stay with me. I'm like, you gotta trust in him, man. And we watch him every year.
Hey Trey, you need to talk to his dad. You need to talk to his dad.
Yeah. Now, Gunner, let's switch gears. Let's talk about you. I know you. We know you committed to University of South Florida, April 22nd.
Yes, sir.
So the question here is, why South Florida?
So them being close to home and Coach Jeff Scott coming in. He brought a whole bunch of new coaches in, and they were my first offer, actually. So, them being my first offer, and with Coach Scott coming in, bringing the whole family-oriented vibe, and it being close to home, and just seeing what they're going to be doing in the future, I was definitely down for it. Going to campus and seeing how the campus was and how they run their team, and texting with some former players right now, and some of them being Fred Lloyd, Holden Willis, and Mitch Wilcox, who was just the tight end who got signed to the Bengals. They definitely got me on board, and I'm super excited about it.
I'm very excited for you too, man. And Gun, I want to ask you this: who, like, we know you play tight end. You know, you're 6'4", 220 pounds. You're actually a receiving tight end, in my opinion. I think you're a good receiver right there, man. I'm gonna be rooting for you for the season once you get on board. But who would you compare yourself to when I mean body of work, your tight end.
Like, who would you compare me to? Like, my game?
Yeah, like your, even your work ethic, your mind. Like, what's tight end you would compare yourself to?
I would totally love to say, I mean, I would say Gronk, but Gronk's too legendary for me to compare myself to.
Hey, I love that confidence. Yeah. That let me know, like, hey, man, you might be the real deal, man.
But I'd say like, work ethic and everything. I love Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce, the way he does everything is awesome. And, I mean, yeah, Travis Kelce for the Chiefs, seeing what he does every day and the work that he puts in just to be one of the top tight ends, I definitely look up to that, and I really love what he does.
Now, let me ask you this, Gunner. Who do you believe is the best tight end in the NFL? You know, you got George Kittle out there in San Francisco in the Bay. You got Travis Kelce with the reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. I like Zach Ertz as well with the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think he get enough love. You got Kyle Rudolph, who's actually from Cincinnati, and he went to Elder here as well. So you got a lot of nice tight ends in the NFL. Who would you say, if you had to pick one, that who you would say is the best tight end in pro football?
You mean like as of right now or like all time?
All right now. We'll get to all time in a minute. Right now, who's the best tight end in pro
right
football?
Right now, I'd probably say George Kittle, to be honest, just overall. Blocking and passing. Talking to college coaches about what he does. During my recruiting, I would talk to UCLA, and he used to show me a George Kittle film, and just seeing what he does in the blocking game and the passing game and just how he is as an overall player. He's probably the best tight end in the league, that's for sure.
Yeah. See, man.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's the better overall player, but I'm definitely taking Kelce, man. He got very effective blocking, but I'm taking Kelce.
Yeah.
But I don't think you really can go wrong with either one.
Yeah, that's true. I like Kelce better, though. I like Kelce's attitude. The way that he plays and the way that he gets on the field and does everything that he does is just awesome. That's what I look up to. I mean, how he is just – that's great.
He makes some nice choices off the field too. Yeah, I like Kelce, man. Kelce, yeah. Cool. Yeah,
he's a guy. He went to. He's a Bearcat, man. So
he is.
Yeah,
he
sure.
Got that too, man. You know what I'm saying? So Gunner, man. So you know, this is your senior year coming up. Like, what are your expectations for this upcoming high school season? For your senior season, my apologies.
Man, I just want to go out there and win. Help my team win. That's honest. That's just what it is. I mean, just go out, get my work in every day, and help my team win, and I mean, I'm hoping the season goes good, and we have all our games set. With this whole COVID thing going on, it's getting scary right now. But I'm hoping I have a senior season.
Like, have you been working out lately? Have you been like meeting up with coaches and players doing workout sections since this COVID-19 hit?
Yeah, for sure. We do. We have like conditioning stuff going on with our team, but we don't have like legit practices yet. But we've been doing that and getting workouts in on the side. So I mean, we're just trying to do as much as we can for sure.
Speaking of the COVID, Gunner, honestly, with everything that's been going on across our nation with the coronavirus and stuff so forth, with, you know, basketball being stopped at one point, we have questions about whether or not we're going to have a college football season and the NFL. Do you believe ultimately that we're going to see football come fall?
I don't want to jinx anything.
Come on. Man, just give us your opinion.
I want football. I think that we will, knowing that football – I'd say football is the biggest sport in America. And seeing what football does, especially in high school and college and even the NFL, I feel like it all depends on what the NFL does. It's hard to tell. I don't know. I mean, it's hard, too, especially with schools looking at – they'd rather have education they put education here and football here, you know. I mean, it's student before athlete. And I mean, it depends if we got school even. If they're making us go online for school, then I don't know if we'll have football, you know. I mean, it's just
a turn. And to be honest, Gunner, me and Clarence, we love football just like you. I know you playing it right now, but I can't imagine a season of fall taking place and not having my football. I just can't imagine it. I just, like,
100%.
It's like, for me, it is like, when I watch my football, I start on my Friday nights locally here in Cincinnati, watching these high school teams play. Then Saturday all day, I'm watching my college football, sun up to sundown. And then on Sunday, religiously, I'm watching my NFL football, me and Clarence both, all day long. It's just like, it's a part of our life. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what to do if I don't have my football. It's gonna be crazy, man.
Yeah, it's sure. Yeah, like what he said, man. Like we have to watch football on Sunday. Like I literally block everybody calling. Like from like 1 to 11, don't hit me up, man. I'm watching sports all day. If it ain't no emergency, don't call me. Hit me up. Gunner, man. So my next question to you is like earlier today. As we move on to the next topic, earlier today, the University of Connecticut was the first team to first team to opt out the season. Like, did you see that today? Like, UConn.
Yeah, I saw it on ESPN.
Like, can you tell us your reaction to that situation?
I mean, I think it's crazy to be honest, especially them being in the American Conference with USF. I hope that doesn't affect us. I don't think it will. I just saw today that they're finally setting a schedule for the American Conference for football. I don't know why UConn would do that, but I feel like them opting out now, they're gonna regret it for sure in the future.
Yeah, cause like y'all supposed to play them like UCF play them every year, so it makes it so uncomfortable. Like it makes it so uncomfortable that they opt out. But it was the right thing though, cause it's COVID-19. It keep expanding. And they don't want they're basically protecting their players from getting it. So
yeah.
Definitely.
Now, Gunner, I want to ask you a question about head coach Jeff Scott from South Florida. You know, what is one of the main things that you're excited about when you go to South Florida next season to play football? What are you most excited about being coached by head coach Jeff Scott?
Just seeing the experience he has. He was a Clemson wide receiver coach for, I think, 12 years. He just moved from Clemson to South Florida head coach. And seeing the experience he has with five-star players all the time and especially receivers, and seeing what he could do with me, and especially him bringing in Coach King, the tight end coach, and Coach Charlie Weiss Jr. at OC. Charlie Weiss Jr., he coached Harrison Bryant last year, who had – he was the Mackey Award winner with 64 catches and at tight end. So, I mean, seeing that excites me for sure. And just seeing the overall thing that they're doing with tight ends, it definitely excites me.
I like great answer. So, Gunner, man, so I'm looking here, and y'all biggest rivalry is Central Florida, man. Like, I know the former players be telling you about that rivalry game, how intense it can get. How excited you is, like, you'll be able to have that chance to play against this rival team and feel like the feeling of actually having a rival team.
I'm so excited.
It get crazy, man.
Yeah, for sure. I actually went to the rivalry game last year, and it was so exciting. And I mean, just being here, growing up. So I started playing football in eighth grade, and from that moment.
Oh, you were a late bloomer? Late bloomer?
Yeah, yeah. Late, well, here, yeah. I played a season when I was really young, and then I just kind of played flag up until I was in eighth grade. And from that moment, I put on a helmet and pads, and I was like, I got to play college football, just seeing how the vibe of college football and seeing the rivalry games and the history behind it. And being in this position now, I'm so blessed and so happy just to be here, and I'm so excited to be on a college field and to be playing with other college football players and college coaches. And it's awesome, to be honest. I'm just super happy.
Now, let me ask you this question real quick, Gunner, because you haven't got to college just yet, but can you explain to some of our fans and viewers out there about the high school experience? Cause I play football in high school as well. And it was like one of the most funnest experiences I ever had in my life. Can you explain to some of our fans about that experience, you know, playing high school football and playing at an elite level like yourself? Because you made plays, and I've watched your highlights, man. You really can make a lot of plays on the field.
Thank
man.
You.
So, you know, how does it feel with that college, with that high school experience, though, like every day on Friday nights?
I mean, it's unexplainable, to be honest. I mean, just being able to play on Friday nights and to grind every single day up to it with your brothers, the brotherhood about football. I mean, high school football is so different, and I feel like people don't see that until they play high school football and put on the pads and get to experience it. I'm so happy to be playing with Satellite High School and with my brothers. And, God, I mean, it makes me emotional, honestly, like thinking this is my senior year. I mean, it's crazy. And I'm hoping that we'll have a great season. And I'm just so happy to be playing high school football. I'm so blessed to be doing this.
Can you real quick, Clarence, I want to ask you, Gunner, can you reflect on your season that you guys had last year? I know you said y'all finished 7-4 on the season. What do you think you guys, you know, as far as your expectations for last year, What is it that you guys felt like ultimately that you might have fell short of your goals? I know 7-4 isn't bad, but I'm pretty sure you guys felt like you probably could have did much better. What is it that you think you guys, you know, should have improved on, or something that you struggled with last year that you want to get better at this year?
So 7-4. So my sophomore year, we actually went 4-6. We did a lot better this year. We definitely put in a lot more work and seeing our improvement just within a year. I feel like this year the grind is different. We're all so excited to finally get the pads on again, start hitting and getting to practice and seeing the grind that we're all putting in, even with COVID going on and seeing the grind that we're putting in outside of school and everything. I feel like we're going to have a great season.
I think you guys are going to have a great season too. We're going to definitely be watching, looking forward into your seasons too, man. We'll be watching them. But, Gunner, my next question for you, though, man, is, like, honestly, man, you got a receiver body, man. Like what, was tight end the first position that you tried out when you first ever played football?
Nah, so until last year, I was probably 6'2", 180. I was just tall, skinny, wide out. And then I shot up a little bit, so I'm 6'4". And then – I just bulked up. I don't even know. It just happened all of a sudden. Now I'm 230. So at the time, I was probably when I first started playing tight end, I was 6'4". I was probably 215. And I remember my coach pulled me aside. He's like, hey, he said, I'm going to put you at tight end this year instead of wide out. And I just trusted my coach. And I said, sounds good. I'll just be a team player, you know. And seeing the amount of offers and the amount of looks I got playing tight end, there's not a lot of tight ends when you think about it, especially like receiving tight ends. There's blocking or receiving or the hybrid players, and I feel like I'm one of those hybrid players, and that's what college coaches like in me.
Gunner, let me ask you a question. What's your preference, to catch a touchdown pass, or would it be to maybe run over a linebacker on the other side? What's your preference if you had to choose one? Because we talked about George Kittle, how much he loves to block. So some tight ends love blocking as well. Which one is your preference, touchdown pass or making a key block on a key play?
I love both. My preference, though, I definitely got to catch a touchdown and celebrate in the end zone. But, I mean, if coach tells me to run through somebody's face, I'm going to do it. And I love that, too. And you can see that in my film. I'm pancaking a bunch of kids. And, I mean, that's the best feeling, too, when you pancake a kid and get up, and you're like, oh, and all the linemen are gathered around you because they just saw what you did, and that's the best feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I think my preference is, man, I want to catch a touchdown pass, man. I want to be catching the balls. I'm being honest with you. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you, man. Hey, Gunner, I looked at the college list that you said. You had Michigan State, notables. Yeah, Michigan State, Purdue, the Air Force, Florida Atlanta, like all these good offers that, man. So just tell me this, man. Like, do you necessarily believe like South Florida was like the best offer for you?
100%. I know everybody's everybody gets blinded by the big name. I mean, USF, we've been kind of down low for the past couple of years, but seeing what Coach Scott does and what he's bringing there, that's what I was looking forward to. And I'm more of a guy that, because a lot of kids get blinded by, oh, if I go to this big school, then that'll be best for me.
Yeah.
But
yep.
My whole thing is if I'm getting loved and appreciated by the coaches, and they take me in and make me the best tight end I could be, that's what I'm looking for. And I definitely saw that in USF.
Yeah, I like that, man. I like that confidence, man. I definitely do.
Me too. Now, Gunner, let me ask you a question about the game itself. We know now in the National Football League that the league is trying to protect players, you know, from getting hit and getting hurt because they've gotten, you know, they've gotten sued by former players because of concussions and so forth. What's your overall opinion about the direction that the game, like where it's going as far as the league wanting to protect players and, you know, and all the flags that's being thrown now for hits in the open field? What's your opinion about that part of the game?
I feel like sometimes it could be taken a little too far, especially – I mean, football isn't a safe game. It's a dangerous game, and you got to be crazy to play it, that's for sure. And, I mean, seeing where we're going with it, with the whole safety issues and suing people for concussions and stuff like that, I think that's not right. If you're choosing to play football, then be ready to get hurt, honestly, you know? I mean, that's just a part of the game.
Yeah. So, Gunner, man, so let's transition, like, back with the NFL. So, I know you're a Packers fan, but I know that you say you're near, like, are you excited that Tom Brady is in Florida now?
I'm so excited.
Like, are you how excited are you is with Tom Brady, the 6-time Super Bowl champion, is in Florida, even though he's in Tampa, though, but he's in the state of Florida. Like, how excited you is that he's in Florida?
That makes, I mean, just being in the same state as a legend, and especially with Gronk, too. I'm trying so hard. I want to get tickets and go to a game. That being the stadium that I'll be playing in, because USF, we play at Raymond James. I mean, knowing that I'll be on the same field as Gronk and Tom Brady, that excites me, you know? And, I mean, hopefully I'll get to meet him one day. You never know. So,
right.
How far is Tampa from Satellite, Florida?
It's about 3 hours away.
Okay. That ain't bad right there, man.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So even y'all is playing y'all playing in the Buccaneer Stadium. Y'all said like UCF.
Yes, sir.
Like I'll freak if you like how excited you would if Rob Gronkowski would catch a game just to see you guys playing.
Yeah, that made me go crazy, man. I don't even know what to say. I try to act cool around Gronk, but you know I'd be freaking out inside seeing what he does. I mean, oh my god, I don't know. I've loved Gronk for so long. Yeah, hopefully he could come to a game and see what's up and catch me at tight end one time. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, let me ask you a question, Gunner. And I'm not sure. I want to. If you're not comfortable answering this, you don't have to. But it's something that's been an ongoing debate in sports, and it's about college athletes getting paid. And so I'm of the belief that I feel like college athletes should get paid. I think you got coaches, you got you know athletic directors. You got so many people in the, you know, university getting paid, and these players, they're going out here and they're putting their livelihood on the line, and they fighting hard every single day, and they got to go to class and also perform well in the classroom to be able to play. I'm of the belief that players should get compensated in some kind of way. What's your belief about, you know, college athletes at some point perhaps getting paid? You don't have to answer it if you don't want to, but if you want to, you can. I just want to get your opinion about that.
College athletes should get paid, that's for sure. Seeing the work they put in every day to go to practice, to get up early in the morning, go to film, go to practice, go to meetings, then go to class after, take flights to other states to play football. I mean, and just any sport, to be honest. I mean, there's definitely – we should get paid for that. And it's – like you said, we put our livelihood on the line. We're not just regular college students. And I mean, college is tough already, but especially with having a responsibility like that, I totally agree that they should get paid.
Yeah, I agree with you about that, man. Run me my money. And actually, I was cleaning up Justin Fields if he got paid for all his images, his likeness, et cetera, et cetera, he can make $1.2 million in that. So I truly believe every college player should get paid for that. I just believe that. Yeah, I definitely believe that. So
the fact that everybody else is getting paid off of these players' abilities, that's what it's all about. Like, they're getting paid off of the plays that these players are making on the field. I just think it's unfair that they're not getting compensated in some kind of capacity. You got these college players that are in college, they ain't got no money. And then the NCAA, they want to suspend these players when they get some outside money coming in. I think it's unfair. It's really ridiculous, to be honest.
Yeah, it really is, man. I think it just definitely is, man. But okay, Gunnar, let's get to a fun question. So me and Trey, we had this debate for like all on Wise Guys. Who do you believe is better, man? Yeah, Giannis. Who you taking? Giannis or AD?
Giannis, man. Are you kidding?
Oh, okay, that's
AD.
Okay.
AD over Giannis?
You good now.
So I take it, Gunnar. You're an NBA fan, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So here's my argument for AD. I think Anthony Davis is a better jump shooter than Giannis. I also feel like Anthony Davis, when he has it going, I think he's unstoppable. I think Giannis is limited at times. Like, I think sometimes when you're going up against Giannis, if you shut him out the paint and you put up a wall, I think Giannis can be stopped. The other night, I watched Anthony Davis drop 42 on Utah. I think Anthony Davis, when he has it going, he's unstoppable. Mind you, he's going up against Rudy Gobert, one of the best defensive players we have in the NBA. And he still dropped 42, Gunner. That's my opinion. I just think Anthony Davis overall, when he's at his best, is better than Giannis.
13 for 28 shooting in that game, Mr. Larkins. 13 for 28.
That's not bad.
What? I don't know. Overall, Giannis is just a beast. You can't say that Giannis isn't a beast. He's I don't know. He's just a better athlete than AD. I mean,
so
and okay. Here in a one-on-one, I'm taking Giannis every day.
Really?
That's big facts.
In a one-on-one, yeah.
Wow. So now that we're back and watching basketball in the bubble, Gunner, down there in Florida, who is your team that you believe is going to ultimately win the championship?
So who's going to win the championship?
Yeah.
NBA Lakers are going to win the championship, but I'm rooting for the Rockets, that's for sure.
Oh, interesting.
What?
So my little brother's a Rockets fan, so I was watching him yesterday and seeing Russ and Harden. I mean, like, I'm just going for them, to be honest.
Did you see that boy Melo hit that clutch shot, man, on the Rockets?
Hey, Clarence, you be quiet, Clarence.
Because Clarence – hey, hold on, Gunner. Clarence tried to disrespect Melo and try to act like Melo's not one of the greatest scorers of all time. You don't get to say that. You hush up. Because you try to act like Melo still – you act like Melo ain't got it no more, Clarence.
Look, Gunner, man. One day we just debated about – I said LeBron James is a better scorer than Melo, man. And it just went crazy after that, man. I just believe that. But Melo is a legit scorer, but at the same time, like, he had some flaws in his game that was not working.
See, Gunner, I try to explain to Clarence that you have to break this down into different kinds of, like, departments. Like, okay, I think Tom Brady is the GOAT. Do I think he's the best of all time? Not even close. I think Aaron is better than Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady's the GOAT. I think Aaron is the better player. So when I relate that back to basketball, and what he's talking about is, I think Melo's a better all-around scorer than LeBron James, but LeBron James is by far the better player. So you got to, in sports, you got to break it down. You can't just say, oh, LeBron's a better player, that makes him a better scorer. That's not true. Just like you can't say, because Tom Brady's the GOAT, that makes him a better overall player than Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers. That's not the case. Don't you think that you can compartmentalize things in sports?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, no, I mean, here, yeah. LeBron, here, greatest player of all time. Of all time. Okay, I got a question for y'all. Michael Jordan or LeBron? Who you taking?
MJ.
Okay, thank you. How about you?
I'm taking MJ too because he got that killer.
I got one more better for you, Gunner. I got one better for you. I think I believe that Kobe RIP to the Black Mamba. Kobe was closer to MJ than LeBron is even to Kobe right now.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I feel like everybody sees LeBron and they're just like, all right, it's LeBron. He's the greatest of all time. But I mean, you got to run back the tape of Kobe back in the day, like in his prime.
Thank you.
And I mean, and same with MJ. Like you go on YouTube and look up MJ's layup mixtape, and it's the greatest. He's so nice with everything. It's so he's flawless. And I mean, LeBron could say he's the world's best player, and he could say that. And that's what, I don't really like that he says that, because him going on the news and saying I'm the greatest player in the world, that doesn't go with me.
The players that we just said, MJ and Kobe, they can't bring to the table what LeBron brings to the table, man. That's just point simple, right there.
So this is my argument for that, though. This is how I look at it, Gunner. Everybody has a preference. I do believe LeBron is great. I make no mistake about it. LeBron James is an all-time NBA great. I'm not going to sit up here and act like LeBron James isn't top 10 all-time and one of the greatest players that has ever dribbled a basketball. But for me and my personal preference, I look at what can you do for me in the final 3 minutes when it's time to close the deal, when I need a bucket, when it's clutch moments that present itself. Who is going to be able to carry that torch and make that play for my team to win? And I think Kobe and Jordan. Wait a minute, Clarence. LeBron has never been clutch like Kobe and Jordan. Never.
That's true.
Never.
Wait, hold on though, man. Y'all are missing the point of LeBron James hit big shots in his career. He's proven that already. Like he hit big shots in his career.
So let me ask you a question. What happened to LeBron in the 2011 NBA Finals? His first year in Miami. When he melted down against
big shot,
right? But when he I'm talking about when he melted down against Dallas Mavericks. When he melted down against Dallas and Dirk and them, we would have never seen Kobe and MJ do that ever.
But he showed up though. He was the leading scorer in all the majority of all the categories, and he was the one that showed up. Honestly, like Wade and Bosh, they didn't show up to play, man. I just believe that LeBron has showed up every year. But at times, though, he needed more help around him. Look, let's be honest. He is the system. He is the system. And
what do you think, Gunner? What do you think?
Wait, what did you say?
What do you think? What do you think about what he said? What do you think about what Clarence said?
Can you say it again? Sorry, I was zoning out. My bad.
No, you good, man. I was basically saying, like, LeBron James is like – well, like whatever he brings more to the table than Kobe, and I believe that he is the system. Whatever he wants, he's going to get. Like whatever, if he wants this type of shooter, he's going to get that type of shooter. I don't think he's the type that if you want him to fit a system, he's not going to want it, because he going to want what he wants. Like, and that's definitely player domination right there, man. So what you say about that?
See, yeah, no, I agree with that. Like, if we're putting it, I always put it in a one-on-one perspective. LeBron would beat Kobe and MJ in a one-on-one. Just because he would. Let's just be real. His size, speed, shooting, he's a whole package. Let's be real. But I wouldn't say he's the greatest of all time just based off of what he's done in his career, seeing what MJ's done with his – how many titles do you have? Six?
Six
titles. And seeing what he's done with his career and seeing what Kobe's done with his career compared to LeBron. I would take MJ and Kobe, but
real quick, Gunner, you know better than this, Gunner. You know sports is not all about physical abilities. Sports also is about mental. You know it's been teams that you probably went up against in high school and that you and your team knew at Satellite High School, you knew we're gonna beat this team, and you knew throughout the week while you were practicing and preparing for that team, you knew you had the mental edge over that team. I think if MJ and Kobe play LeBron one-on-one, I think Kobe and MJ would tear LeBron down mentally. Like, they would be trash-talking him so much, I don't think LeBron would be able to handle it. That's my opinion. That's just
so, okay.
It's tough.
Yeah. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, it's tough.
There you go.
It's tough.
Oh, so, Gunner, my next question is, like, you know the MVP season. Like, who you believe is the MVP of the NBA?
See, now I gotta go with LeBron, man. I don't know.
Wait, hold on.
Yep.
You're choosing LeBron James over Giannis?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's tough. Seeing it's tough. What both of them do with the game, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's just tough to say. I'm going to go with LeBron, though.
Okay. Now, let's switch back to your sport. I got a two-part question for you. The first part is, when you're looking at tight ends, since you've been watching football, who is the best tight end that you've ever seen play the game of football? Not best all time, but since you've been watching the game, who would you say is the best tight end in your era? Like, since you've been watching the game and understanding the game?
It's hard. Because all of them are different. That's the thing. I mean, it's tough because being a tight end, all of them have different edges, you know? I mean, you could put Gronk in a different category than Kittle. I mean, everybody's got a different set to them. Like, it's different than receivers. If you're a receiver, you got to be fast and quick and have hands, and you got to be good route running. But, I mean, like, I would say Gronk, just because seeing what Gronk does. I mean, yeah, I got to go with Gronk. I mean, seeing how he is overall.
Now, have you ever had a chance? I know you have had a chance. I know your dad for sure. I know you guys have had a chance to check out Tony Gonzalez. Tony Gonzalez was a beast at tight end.
I haven't watched Tony Gonzalez's film yet or anything. My dad for sure has. But, I mean, that's the thing. Like, of my era right now, I got to look more into it. But I know best from, like, Gronk to Kelsey to, like, just all, like, the bigger tight ends, like, of this era, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Also, too, we always forget about my man that's on Undisputed. We always forget about Shannon Sharp. We got to show Shannon Sharp some love, too, because Shannon Sharp was making plays back in his day.
That's true.
Yeah. Definitely, man. So, Gunner, man, one last question before we about to let you go off the show, man. So, I know this is about to be a tough question for you, man. This is about to be a tough answer for you. Do you believe – okay. I'm trying to break this down. But I don't want to see Rob. All right. It just popped out my head, man. My bad, Trey. I just had the question. It just disappeared.
I got one for you, Gunner, before we get out of here. One more last one. I see your highlights. You could catch the ball real well at its highest point. You great in the open field at being able to make guys miss. I see your highlights when you score a lot of touchdowns. What would you say in your game, if you had to really, really look at your game and say, hey, I have to get better at this. I have to get better if I want to make it to the next level. In your game, what would you say you want to improve on the most so you can possibly put yourself in a position to where you can get to the NFL? What would you say you want to perfect?
I want to perfect a lot of my speed. I feel like I could definitely pick it up on my speed, on my 40 time and quickness overall. And then when it comes to, like, to form and technical stuff, I'd say blocking for sure. Blocking, and I mean, I would want to say I want to get better at everything, but I want to definitely focus on blocking, speed, route running. It's just, I don't know. I kind of just want to work on everything, to be honest, but I'd say blocking and speed are my top two.
Have you just been like on a diet, like, you know, watching your weight, like watching what you eat and stuff? Like, how you be like paying attention to those type of situations in order for you to have that speed and like technique when you're blocking?
Oh, wait, what'd you?
Like, basically, as like, have you been watching your diet? Like, do you like eat a lot of healthy food and trying to stay away from the junk food? Like, because you say you want to work on speed.
Have
you been like on a diet?
No, I try my best. A lot of high protein stuff, protein shakes, eggs and rice, chicken. I mean, just like as much protein as I can get. I don't take it to the next level just yet. I can't wait to get to college and they'll put me on a nutrition plan and that'll shred me out and build muscle at the same time. I mean, that's what I'm excited for. But yeah, I mean, my top two is chicken and rice. I mean, I could eat chicken and rice every single day if I wanted
smart
to.
Guy.
One more question for you, Gunner. Do you ever have any cheat meals? If you had to pick one cheat meal, what would it be? Just a cheat meal. Like, I got to have it. Any cheat meals? I know it's a tough question. I know it's a good question, though, too. Any cheat meals?
Man, you can't go wrong with fettuccine Alfredo. That's for sure.
You're right.
That's for sure.
Oh, man. For sure. He's a 6'4". Tight end out of Satellite Beach, Florida. He's going to be attending the University of South Florida in 2021. Hey, Gunner, we appreciate you coming on the show. We're going to bring you back on again. This was a fun interview that we had, bro. We're going to bring you back on the show again for sure. You got any social media you want to shout out real quick? Twitter?
Go follow Instagram. My Instagram at gunner.greenwald and go follow my Twitter at gunner_g23.
Okay, I like that name.
Gunner, we're going to definitely bring you back on, and we're going to talk some more football with you for sure in the future. Good luck to you this season down there in Satellite, Florida. Hey, man, you living the life down there on the beach. You got it made. Good luck to you this year, man, on this upcoming season.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Be safe, man. Stay inside.
You too.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, Gunner. Yep.
All right, man.
All right, Clarence. That was a nice interview that we had with Gunner Greenwald out of Satellite, Florida. We're going to be back on Friday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the Worldwide Sports Network. WiseGuys_H, also on Facebook, Wise Guys. Any closing thoughts real quick, Clarence?
I think I'm about to make me some chicken and rice, man, just because Gunner just mentioned that, man. So I'm about to get some chicken and rice.
Man, you off the chain. Hey, have a good night, bro. I'll see you on Friday.
I'll see you, man.
All right.